But man, if you would continue with me in this series, same God yesterday, today, and forever, turn to Jude 1, and then we're going to kind of cruise a little bit. I'm going to take some out, and we'll get through this. Come on. Lord, help me deliver this in Jesus' name. And if you would just pray in your heart, God, speak to me to this. Speed read it, but God, in all of that, let me soak it in. Help me to hear it, and help me to respond to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, here we go. Jude 1, verse 24, 25. We've been talking about this last week, this week, but we've been in this series, same God, yesterday, today, and forever, for several weeks. We've got one more week to go in this, and we're pumped about this series after this. It's called Lighten Up. Very excited about us as believers being full of joy and what that really looks like in the world. So we're excited about what's ahead, but let's stick to right now. What do you say? Jude 1, 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. I love that. And the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. Watch this now, before all time, now and forever. That same God, yesterday, today, and forever. I love how we put it in here. Same God yesterday, today, and forever. That we can bank on and believe that God is the same God. He's not weaker. He can't get stronger. He is the same God. Always been the same God. He is unchanging. That means, listen, he's the same God in creation to the same God of revelation. He is the same God from beginning to end. He's the same God that has always been. If we think we need a God who gets stronger, you're on the wrong path. God is the same God who is full of all power and might. We can never exhaust it, never going to get to the end of it. He can never get weaker and he can never get stronger. He's the same God. And this, I love this part in Jude because it gives us a breakdown of really his character and who he is. So let's look at that. Verse 25, for the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord be glory and majesty. We covered that last week. So the two words we need to cover this week are his dominion and his authority. See, when you think same God, when you go through life, even in the past, when you think God, what comes to your mind? So this is the idea of we got to bank on what it really means to think on God and to really understand who God is and go deep in Scripture. We talked about his holiness. We talked about his majesty. We talked about his glory. And then we come to a place to look at what it means in his dominion and his authority. What happens when you understand what it means to think God? How does that rearrange your outlook? Watch this. Watch this. When you think God, how does that rearrange your outlook? A.W. Tozer said this. If you guys could put that up, please. This is a great quote from A.W. Tozer. He says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about us. That's not a Bible verse. That's a quote from an old saint who is so, so powerful in his teaching, preaching, and writing. From A.W. Tozer. But I love that because it's so true. It gets you to think even more about God. When I really think about God, when God comes to my mind, what else comes to my mind? What follows that thought when you think about God? It's a real serious thought. When you think about God, what is it that enters into your mind? Because there are always, when you think God, there should always be a follow through to that. Like what comes after that? When we really get into this today. I want this to be absolutely true throughout this whole message this morning, to just grip your heart, is to know this. When you're talking about his dominion and his authority, you're talking about that God is a sovereign God. And when you start throwing around words like sovereign, you're starting to get into a realm that God is in absolute control. God reigns over all. He has a force and a power and a might that is unmatched, that is unchanging. He is sovereign over all. God is in control. What happens? Watch this. What happens when you come to a place to really buy into the idea that God's in control? When I think about God in my circumstance, when I think about God in my day-to-day, when I think about God in my marriage, when I think about God in my children, when I think about God in my studies, when I think about God in my direction and where I'm going to be, what do I really think? Do I really, really come to a place to bank? God, you are sovereign. You have dominion. You have authority. God, you've got this. God, you're in control. Now, please don't go weak on that. Right? If you're a student and you didn't study for a test and you want to bank on, oh, God, you're in control. Fail. Please don't misunderstand the message where you and I still have to do our part. You and I still have to do our part. But truly, at the end of life, you can come to a place to turn around in your life and really begin to say, God, you always did your part. God, if I turn around at the end of my day and I look back, I can say, God, you did your part. God, you are in control. We come to this place to break down these two words, dominion and authority. And when you look at the word dominion, it means force. It has this power and this strength and this might behind it. And when you start thinking God, you start thinking God, let me understand your force. Let me understand your power. Let me understand your strength. Let me understand your might. And as we love to do in this church, we go back to a place of creation. We go back to a place of Genesis 1 because creation is all throughout Scripture. You see it from beginning to end, talking about God Almighty, God who made the heavens and the earth, God who created the stars. And when you begin to break down, what was some of the most encouraging moments for those who were struggling? To be reminded that God's in control. And how does he give that to us? When we look up and we see the sun, the moon, the stars, when we walk on this ball called earth that he created, we understand, God, you've got this. Well, what happens, church? And watch this now. In our minds, we think there's big miracles and little miracles. In our minds, we think, man, if God showed up and raised the dead, oh, man, that would be amazing. But if he heals Junior of just a common cold, like one's no different from God than the other, when you really understand, when you think God, you think, okay, God, nothing is hard for you. But we like to mess around with miracles, and we like to mess around and think, actually, and I believe God can raise the dead. I believe God can heal cancer. I believe God can do all things because he's God. There's nothing difficult for him. He can heal the sick. Pray over your kids, lay hands on you. I believe that God can do all things. But church, the real test is if we actually think God did a big thing compared to, well, he healed my son of the flu. Well, we've got the wrong picture of God if that's our mindset. Because he's a God who nothing is difficult for him. And we look at day one where he creates light. Could you imagine him? He spoke, whoosh, wham, light. And then light was. And then day two, he comes to a place to create the expanse of the heavens. Church, do you have any idea what the expanse of the heavens looks like? We don't, because we've never been there. There's not a telescope on the planet that can actually get us there, right? We don't know the expanse of that. We have never reached the end of the sky or the end of the heavens or the expanse of all universe. We've never even been there. We can't even experience what day two even looks like when simply on a day, God just said, expanse, boom. And then day three, he creates earth with water and seas, and he creates land on day three. And he puts vegetation and plants and trees. And then day four comes one of my favorite days where he creates the larger ball of light and then the lesser ball of light and then the stars also. And Psalms 33:6, I love this. If you could put that up, please. I want you to see this because I want you to understand when we're talking about his greatness, and he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Watch this now. And by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts, which means all of the stars, the billions, trillions, times trillions and billions that we will never, ever, ever, ever count. And all God had to do was exhale. That's all he had to do was breathe. And then the sky just lit up. Are we looking at grasping his dominion? his power, his force, when all he had to do was exhale, breathe, and all these stars appeared. Could you imagine that show? How? Oh. And then on day five, he creates the things that swim and the things that fly. And the Bible says the great sea monsters. Like, I love my fish, right? I bought 7 fish last week and 6 died. A terrible fish keeper. No, I'm very good at it. They just weren't right for my tank. Refund, it was beautiful. But could you imagine before the fall? What was under the sea? Could you imagine when the Bible says great sea monsters? And I believe the flood took out everything above the ground. But could you imagine what still, watch this, what still exists under the waters that we have never reached the depths of the sea? We've never reached the bottom. Could you imagine when the Bible says great sea monsters, your mind can go to crazy monsters that we do know about and then watch what God created that we'll never see. And then it created the birds that fly. And then on day 6, it created the beasts that walk the earth. Could you imagine the dinosaurs and all this? All just in a day. And then he creates man in his image and puts a pile of dirt together and poof, breathes in his nostrils and there was life. Same God. Before all time. Same God now, today, for me and you. Same God for always, forever, for eternity. Same God, unchanging. Same dominion, same force, same power, same might for you and I here today. What happens when you think God? What happens when God comes into your head? What happens when you begin to go through it? What happens when your back is against the wall? What happens when things just aren't going your way? What happens when you come to a place to really dwell and seek and think on God? What is it that comes to mind? Is it same God? Is it God, you are all powerful? God, you are almighty. God, you have dominion. God, you have great force. God, you have great power. God, you knew my beginning. And you know my end. And God, in all of that, man, I just need to come to a place to just believe, God, you're in control. God, you're in control. And the great tragedies and the great losses, God, you're in control, and how difficult that is. But to come to a place to say, God, I still believe you're in control. Through the highest of highs, coming to a place to not forget who got you there. And I believe, God, you're in control. And then we have this second word, authority, and it means rule, and it means reign, and it means kingship. Like a ruler has a kingdom, and we know that God is called King of Kings. Jesus Christ is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they certainly have a kingdom here on the earth as in heaven, and it's through us, and you understand. What does it mean that, God, you reign? That God, you have a great rule and you have great authority. Can I bank on you and your dominion and your authority? Can I bank that, God, you do certainly reign and you do rule? Come on, join me to 1 Timothy 6, please. 1 Timothy 6. We're not going to make it to 1 Chronicles 29, so we're going to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6 says this, and I love this because here you see these amazing work of the Old Testament, and you see that, watch what happened in Genesis 6 when you really believe that there was a global flood and all God did was flip a switch. Church, what happens when you really begin to think on God, think on his power, think on his authority, think on his glory, think on his majesty, think on his dominion, and really believe, same God yesterday, today, and forever, that all he had to do is say, rain, a lot. Flip the switch. Listen, if God is the one who gave breath, I praise the Lord for our rainbow, which is significant to God's mercy and his grace, saying, I'm not going to wipe out the earth like that again. But you have to believe that he could. You have to believe that all God would have to do, the one who created oxygen, the one who created breath, all he had to do is speak to the oxygen. We know that, God has the power to speak to the elements. We know that God to speak to his creation. He can speak to the wind and the waves. What if he just simply said, oxygen, be gone? How long would it take for every living thing on the earth to fall over? Just flip a switch. But what happens when you begin to understand that is our God and that is his power and that is his dominion and that is his authority? And the enemy, watch this now, please. The enemy wants to get in your head and come to a place to try to convince you, man, maybe he's not all that. Where has he been? Maybe he hasn't shown up. Maybe he's really, you think that he's in control, but have you seen the world today? Does it really look like God's in control? Church, I promise you this, that God is in control. He will always do his part. When you have the right biblical picture of who God said he is and his glory and his majesty and his dominion, his force, his power, his might, his strength, and his authority, that he does reign, that he is in charge, that he absolutely is control, and the one that he created in Lucifer, who is now Satan, is trying to get into your head, starting you to question if God's actually in control, when there'll be a day that he just sends an angel to wrap him up by a chain and say, you are forever banned in the lake of fire. Like, that's our God who doesn't miss a beat. That's our God who doesn't miss an inch of your world or your life. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. That's our God who's in absolute, complete, total control. So when you think God, church, what do you think? What is it that comes to mind? Because I believe this, I really believe this, that how you respond or how you react to certain circumstances in our lives, it really reveals what we really believe about God. How we react to something, how we respond to something, it's a reflection of what we really believe about God. We can come in and we love our worship and we raise our hands and we're speaking life and we're praising God, and all of that is breakthrough and it's powerful. But what happens when you walk out of these doors? What is it that really reveals what you really believe about God? That's how you respond to hurt and pain and weight, how you respond to concern. What's it look like? Watch this now. What's it look like to just come to a place and all the anxiety and all the worry and all the pain and all the tragedy and going through life? What's it really look like to be able to just really, truly say, God, I believe you're in control and I just want to roll it all over to you. I want to sleep good tonight in peace because I know, God, you're in control. I know if I do my part, God, you will always, always do your part. I didn't even get to 1 Timothy 6. You know, instead of that, go to Isaiah 40, please. Isaiah 40. And I'm telling you, this week, even last night I was here just walking and just praying and asking God, Lord, where is the direction to close this thing? Because it's a power-packed, real deep, good, okay, God, you're in charge, and I get that, you're in control, but when we walk out of here, where does it actually sit? We walk out of here, get in our cars, drive away, say, yep, God's in control, sweet, and then you don't sleep tonight. Because of all the anxiety and the weight, can I just promise you that God is never, ever, ever, ever looking at Jesus going, oh, I'm concerned about this one. This one, Jesus, I didn't sleep last night. I have so much worry. Like, that's not our God. That's us. That's not him. God's never anxious. He's never worried. He's never concerned. He always knows how it's going to pan out. He is absolutely sovereign, and he's in control. What happens when he comes to us and says, listen, Sean, would you just trust me? Sean, would you believe that I've got this? Would you believe that I can have you in the palm of my hand, Sean? And when I act, nobody can reverse it. Acts 43:13. Listen, when God acts, no one can reverse it. Sean, I have you right here, Sean. In the palm of my hand, I've got you. And when I got you there, there's nobody that can reverse that. Church, what happens when we really believe that, God, you're not in heaven worried? You're never anxious. You're never concerned about tomorrow. But what happens when we honestly come to Him and give Him our anxiety and our worry and our concern? Say, God, based off your sovereignty and based off of your dominion and based off your authority, God, I believe you've got this. I'll do my part. But God, I know that you will always do your part. Look at this. I think it's a lot of people's favorite portions of Scripture, and it's real material. And it brings us to a place where we see again, Isaiah brings in the creation of God. Isaiah 40, verse 25, to whom will you liken me? That I would be his equal, says the Holy One. Again, it's amazing that we are constantly reminded of how great God is. But when you think God, is that what comes to mind? Church, come on, where's the disconnect between my mind going towards God and me thinking about God and his greatness and his authority and his power and his force? And man, if God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, I don't give a rip who is against me. Then we're going to follow hard after him. He's got this. He's against. Like, where is the disconnect from when our mind goes to God that it's his greatness? Where is the disconnect when our mind goes to God? We're reminded, man, in 6 days, you did all of this. By a breath, because you spoke and it all happened. Same God from then to now, today, forever. What happens when we look at this? When the Lord is saying, hey, listen, who are you liking me to? That I would be his equal. Watch this, verse 26, and I love this. Lift up your eyes. Church, when you want breakthrough, you can't keep your eyes down. You can't be looking at the ground. You can't be droopy going, oh, my breakthrough's coming and I'm just going to play with the worms. No, I'm serious. And I love this because even this year, I can't believe it's towards the end of September. That is nuts. It's almost October. And this year, I'm like, God, I'm praying for this church and I'm praying for you. God, let there be a joy that needs to be restored. Let there be just this gladness within our heart. God, let there be a peace in our people. God, let there come to a place. And I love Psalm 121. It's kind of been, not even for me personally, but it's been something that I have prayed over this church that has become, watch this now, has become for me personally. Psalm 121 says this, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. From where does your help come from? My help comes from the maker of the heavens and the earth. Do you see it, church? Throughout all of Scripture, his creation is mentioned and re-mentioned. You come to this place. You come to this place. Lift up your eyes on high. And see, watch this. And see who has created these stars. The one who's led forth their host by number, he calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Watch this, not one of them is missing. God, you're telling me that I can look at your creation. As a matter of fact, I can just look up and I can see that fiery ball 92 million miles away and I can see the moon of that reflection and I can see these stars by night and that, watch this now, that's to remind me that no one's like you. That is actually to remind me of how great you are and how amazing you are. And I can actually sit under these stars and I can just begin to sing my heart of praise to your amazing work and what you've done. God, I'm done looking down. I'm done looking at the worms. God, it's time to walk in the biblical principle of what it means to lift my eyes up to the maker of the heavens and the earth. From where does my help come from? Hallelujah, church. You come to this place. What is it? And where do you go when you think God? But watch this. So good. Verse 28 says this, do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, the everlasting God, the Lord, here it is again, the creator of the ends of the earth. Watch this, he does not become weary or tired. Listen, he's above history and he is beyond time because his understanding is inscrutable, which means we can't ever get to the end of what he knows. Verse 29, we're closed with this. He gives, watch this now, he gives strength to the weary. But he said, over here, he said, who are you liking me to that I would be his equal? I love how he says, listen, I'll give strength to the weary, but lift your eyes up. Listen, if you're weary, if you're heavy laden, if you're coming to a place where you're anxiety, you're hurting, you're broken, then you need to do this. You need to thank God, and you need to lift your eyes up to the creator of the stars, which I just breathed, man. I exhaled, and man, and I know everyone, that one, and that one, and that one, and he knows every single one by name, so much so that not one of them is missing. He says, listen, watch this. I love this. Give strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youth grow weary and tired, vigorous young men stumble badly. Watch this, verse 31. For those who wait for the Lord. And the word wait is not a lazy word here, church. It's not, that means sitting on the couch with a remote. The word, I love this because the word wait here, it means to have an expectation. To look for when you lift your eyes up and you begin to say, this is my condition, this is where I'm at, but God, I think on you and I think of your greatness. And God, watch this, and you will give strength to the weary. Yet to those who expect, for those who look for the Lord, you will gain new strength. Have you ever had that? Have you ever, and we'll close, man. Have you ever had that supernatural fresh strength that you've experienced your breakthrough, and then all of a sudden there's this strength, this fresh strength that comes. And you're just like, oh man, there's something going on in me that just, you know, months ago or a year ago, if this XYZ would have happened to me, I would have crashed, man. I would have been done. But XYZ has happened to me, and there's this faith that's rising up, and there's this building that's going on in my spirit. And I really think that I've trusted God through this, and my faith has seen me through, and I'm waiting on him, and I have this expectation like I've never had before. And then there's this thing that's going on within me. I can't really explain it, but there's this, well, I just kind of feel good. Well, has your circumstance changed? Not really. It's actually, it's kind of got worse. But there's just this amazing thing of this new strength that's taking place within. Now watch this. I love this. Here it is. And they will mount up with wings like eagles. And I love this, church, when that new strength begins to come and there's something taking place within your spirit. I love it. Have you ever seen eagle begin to mount up, his chest begins to really stick out, and his wings become just so wide, and he's ready to soar. Why? Because I've lifted my eyes up, and I know where my help comes from. It comes from the maker of the heavens and the earth. And every time we see the stars, what happens when you thank God? Do you think he's bigger than my problem? He's more powerful than anything I'll ever experience. And then in this, man, I want that new strength, man. I want to mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary. Come on, just bow your head just for a minute, please. Come on, what happens when you understand what this really looks like? Come on, what happens when you really understand what this really looks like in your life, where you can really come to a place to think on God and say, God, you're bigger than this. God, you have more authority than anything that I would ever experience. And God, I lift my eyes up to you, for you are the maker of the heavens and the earth, and you are where my help comes from. And when I wait on you, when I come with a full expectation of you, then, God, I can experience new strength. I can mount up with wings like eagles. And, God, I'll run and not get tired, and I will walk and not become weary. Where are you at in this morning, church? Where are you this morning, right here, right now, in this place? You see, this is where the rubber meets the road, man. This is where you come to a place. I'm either in or out of this. I'm either going to keep my eyes looking at the worms, or in this moment I can make a decision of how great my God is. Right now I can make a deciding factor in my life that when I thank God, I'm going to think of his dominion and his authority and his power and his might and his force. I'm going to think, when I lift my eyes up to see the stars, I'm going to know, God, all you did was exhale. God, you've got this. God, God, you're in control. God, you'll always do your part. And I can sleep good tonight knowing, God, you're in control. You see, that decision has to be on you. Those who wait for the Lord. There's them who will wait for the Lord, who expect, who look for, and there are those who just say, nope. I'm just asking you today, where are you going to be in this? Where are you going to be in this? When you begin to thank God, you begin to thank God you've got this. You're all powerful. You're in charge. You're in control. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name right now. Father, we thank you for the work that's being done in this place. Right now in the hearts of your creation, God, it's amazing. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In this moment, Father, we just come before you and know, God, you don't sleep. You don't slumber. You never get weary. You never get tired. You don't miss a minute, God. You are the same God who created. You're the same God who split the sea. You're the same God who raised the dead. You're the same God who will return. And you're here now, today, in my world, in my life, unchanging. And in this moment, we come to a place. Say, God, I roll it all over to you. God, you're in control. And I trust in you. I trust in you. God, when I begin to walk and when I begin to run, I will not grow weary and I will not get tired. And God, let there just be a fresh strength come. Father, that's what I pray right now, that there would be a fresh strength today that would come. And we would mount up again. Wings as eagles. God, we would see a strength come back to our spirit. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Come on, church.